Oh, oopsie daisy.
Yeah, you are online.
Yes, by PRM then.
Actually, this does take pretty good, though, the situation we're using right now.
Uh-huh. That actually sounds a little better than the system you have downstairs.
Like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let us get down to business.
Okay, here we go. Now.
Yes.
A book. Are you familiar with this book?
Let me access here for a second.
Okay.
Yes, we have accessed. There's penguins in it.
Okay.
Okay, your question on the book, Dune.
Dune by Frank Herbert. Now, Dune, as a preface, is quite a fascinating book for its relevant matter to our current situation. And that being the practice of shortage and knowledge of attainable goods. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in Dune, the shortage, of course, is for water. And one of the things that I just read here, just before we started this session, you know, I thought I might bring up a little bit and see what you thought. And this concerns the law of the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And growth is limited by the necessity which is present in the least amount. And naturally, the least favorable conditions control the growth rate. Water is the least favorable condition for life on Arrakis. And remember that growth itself can produce unfavorable conditions unless treated with extreme care.
Mm-hmm. Too much growth can be detrimental. Too little growth can be detrimental. It basically is what it's saying.
Right. Now, the factor of growth is controlled by, as it says here, the limited by the necessity which is present in the least amount.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if we require something, then our growth would be dependent on that which we can get the least.
The least that you can get by on.
The least that you can get by on.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So in other words, when we're dealing with things like food and other necessities,
mm-hmm.
then that which we can get by on the least continues our growth.
Correct.
So for example, say I weigh 320 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would mean I require more food on a daily level than myself, mm-hmm. which only weighs 160 pounds or 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, in a condition of shortages, I would have a better chance of getting by than the gentleman at 320 pounds.
Because a person at 320 pounds is used to a daily calorie intake that is much higher.
Right.
So therefore, he needs much more to sustain his current level. Now, if it's because he's tall and not fat, fat you can do away with, you can lose. If he was fat, he might outlive you. But there again, he might not. But if it's because of the fact that he was tall and well-built and had the minimum amount of fat on his frame, then he would need to maintain that level for him to function.
Well, let's say we both had the same amount of food amounts. Let's say 100 calories a day. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman was fat. He'd outlive me?
Yeah.
Because his body would eat off the fat.
Correct.
He'd look like hell after a while. I might die, but I'd die looking a lot better than he would.
Yeah, but you'd be dead, he wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd want to live. Anyway,
correct.
So now we go on to our current situation, which is the stocking of supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Top ramen,
mm-hmm.
I mean, instant lunches kind of deal, where we just add boiling water.
And if you throw in the herbs and the dried food, right, you can turn it into a lunch. Sure. Not lunch, into a dinner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to plan about a six-month siege level.
Now, for how many people, though?
Well, what you've got there is not the one person for 2 months.
Correct.
And that's just top round.
And that's just top round. That includes the pounds of rice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, which would make a good side dish for that.
Yeah. So what you have is enough to keep one person going for 2 months with full meal.
Correct.
One meal a day, including rice and so on.
Yeah, rice and top ramen. You could do rice in the morning, mm-hmm. top ramen at night.
Mm-hmm. Plus herbs and stuff. Right. What you've got there will keep one person going for about 2 months.
Right.
With a full meal, basically.
Correct.
Either splitting it into two or just having it as one.
It'd be a pretty boring 2 months, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, but you'd be alive at the end.
You'd be alive at the end.
So, with what you have there already, you have enough for one person for 2 months. Now, if that is enough for one person for 2 months, right, you have to multiply that by how many people you need. Now, you'd have to multiply that by 3 to 6 months.
Now, the question here is, what you just said, how many people do we need?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that is an optimal point that we need to work on here is in the scenario B situation that we are currently looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there will be a minimum and a maximum amount of people.
But how many people are you prepared to put into each room?
Two.
Two in each room would be comfortable. So that'd be 2, 4, 6, 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to... Thank you. You would have to multiply how much 6 months would be by... I tell my girls off to biting their nails.
Well, yeah, but they got different nails than I do.
Yes. Kiri tells Alex and Leonidas for biting their nails.
Oh, okay.
Tells them off. But, okay, so you would multiply that, what you have there, by 16. Why 16?
Because it would be a 2 month supply for 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2 months with 8 people,
mm-hmm.
We'd have the food supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that point, we also have to plan the heating
mm-hmm.
of the water
mm-hmm.
to keep those food, to cook the food that we have the supplies for.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we have to figure into our calculations how much heat it takes to feed 8 people
mm-hmm.
one day on the stuff that we have.
Okay. What you also might think of doing is building a barbecue in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Build the barbecue. Build the barbecue with a side oven, right? Which should be pretty easy.
Right.
Top grill plate. You can put on one side, you could probably get away with putting a piece of metal that would get hot. So you can put things on there to boil, like water and so on.
Well, we're still working on the insert for the fireplace,
mm-hmm.
which would be much more handier because then we could have heat in the mm-hmm. winter plus a cooking space.
Yeah.
Which is basically where, you know, the outside would only be good for a certain amount of the year.
No, it wouldn't use it all the time. The heat would get rid of everything. You just put dry wood in there, right, and light it.
Okay. But it's outside, though. You're going to lose the heating capabilities that you could double for in the house.
Certainly you would lose that heating capability.
Now, see, that's why I say it'd only be good in the summertime where you're not worried about the heating capabilities than you would. Because like I say, we're dealing with doom, we're dealing with waste.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we have to focus on the lack of waste
mm-hmm.
to the extreme degree that you know, any plan we could make that would eliminate the waste of necessary ingredients, for example, warmth,
mm-hmm.
as well as cooking.
Okay, let's have a look at something else.
Okay,
you have plenty of access to meat, right?
Yes.
Yeah, let's assume.
Okay.
Deer meat, whatever. Right. What are you going to do about lighting?
Lighting the fire?
No, lighting.
Oh, lighting, keeping the place lit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have, of course, the plan we're working on now is lamps and candles, mostly lamps.
Okay, let's say your candles are gone.
Yeah.
Right, and the oil is gone.
Right.
What can you use as a substitute?
Deer fat.
Smells horrible, but gives off a light. It gives off a smoke as well. But you could get away with it. So when you're cooking, right, what you do is, the fat you take off and you put in a jar. Then you can scoop it out, put a wick in the middle, or render it down, put a wick in the middle, and then let it solidify, and you've got yourself a candle.
Okay.
Not a very good one, but you have lighting.
Yeah.
Message from Cara is that she will go offline in about 20 minutes or so. 10 minutes. Okay. Let me put on the next and last person.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Not bad, Laika. How's yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Can't complain.
Going to the party?
What, tonight?
No, tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Gonna be there.
Are you gonna be performing or just watching?
Just watching. Oh, you mean the demonstration they're going to?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's tonight.
Oh, that's tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're gonna be performing, right?
I might perform.
You're a skier, right? You're defending your title, right?
Oh, I'll be racing.
Yeah.
But no, not that kind of performing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Lots of gorgeous men and women dancing on stage.
So where do I keep you up?
Well, I've got to keep myself in tip-top shape and size. I have early nights when the races are here.
Oh, okay.
Well, reasonably early. Although, from what I've heard, there's a couple of guys and girls that I might be interested. I saw a picture of a girl. She's a real hard body. Her boyfriend is a real hunk.
Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like 80s days. Good God.
Oh, yeah. I've got my plans. I'm going to take her to Lake Dolphin and show him what passion is on the beach.
Okay, one boat.
Yeah, we might do it on the boat.
Boat's nice, but good.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of rocky motion, like a huge waterbed.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
As you know, we're discussing survival again.
Yes, survival. Mm-hmm. Survival of the fittest.
Well, the smartest.
Mm-hmm. That's what Cara called it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's absolutely adorable.
I can't argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
I love the lady more than life itself.
Yeah, she's so loving.
Mm-hmm. She's beautiful and
gorgeous.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, my dear, a lady who I was discussing the current future situation the planet with last night talked about some kind of prophecy in which she saw or had been, for some reason, been told that there would be a war between the Sierras and the Rockies. That's not quite right, I think. But then, anyway, there's two crosses between the war zone, I guess. You've got one right here at Talac, and the other one, another mountain at the other thing. Cascades. That's it. Now, even if this happens, we're in fine shape for that. As far as defensible. But, the question comes up, how do you know beforehand that you will perform fine with the field of duty?
You don't.
You don't.
You don't.
Okay. Now, are you aware that, you know, there is a belief down here that many people have their soul animals? That they respond well to a certain animal, that animal, you know, kind of symbolic of that person.
Yeah.
What would you say your soul animal is?
Tigress.
Tigress?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, see, me, I get mine as the dolphin.
Mm-hmm. Why is the dolphin?
Well, playful, loving, serious when has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain amount of, I call it psychic, but it's the wrong word.
I think I know what you mean.
Intuition, maybe, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Now, why do you think I have the tigress?
Well, just from your basic, you know, what you do, what you're almost bred for.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I was bred for it.
Well, it's no accident that you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you mean your past lives must have directed you in this particular area that you channeled your energies into, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know. It's too early for me to have access.
Still, I mean, it's just a logical conclusion. I don't get access to mine either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can look at your
yeah.
life now.
And obviously, I was
do such.
Very, very ferocious at one time.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I still am very ferocious.
Competitive, ferocious.
Mm-hmm. On a bound. Protective. Determined, yes.
So I would, I mean, it would point in that direction. I almost say, you know, probably a male life or two where you were in that same role.
Probably, yes. Probably.
Probably. Mm-hmm. So I would say the tigress would fit right in along with your, you know, that general scheme that we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
What color tigress?
Probably something like a,
He is hunting colors?
Yeah, he is hunting colors would work, but that's not what I like what I had in mind. Kind of red and brown and black stripe.
Mm, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on a mission or something,
mm-hmm.
do you have this sort of mental image that is a part of you then?
No.
No?
I'd sooner not fight that if I have to. I will.
Right. Well, let's say you're on patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hostile environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What part of you emulates that tigress aspect that you're talking about? Hearing?
Hearing.
What about stealth?
Stealth, yeah.
Hmm.
Cautious as possible. Listen to everything. 1, 2, 3 steps. Stop. Listen.
Hmm.
1, 2, 3 steps. Listen.
This comes from the training.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. Sound. Stay absolutely still. Hold the position you're in. Absolutely still. And listen.
So it's a focusing of
mm-hmm.
your attention.
Yes,
bring upon that. What you're doing. There is no room for
error. I wish I had hearing capability and the ability to distinguish that snap of a twig. Is that somebody behind me that's in my patrol just stepping on a twig? Or was that maybe some animal stepping on a twig or somebody else?
Can't you get a technological breakthrough on something like that? We can down here, where we can enhance our hearing a couple 100% of what.
Yes, but it's the bulkiness.
Mm, stuff we have is, you know, looks like a pair of eyeglasses practically.
It's bulky. I like to be as light as possible with stuff that will not go wrong.
So, like an infrared with a hearing enhancer would be just too much for you.
Mm-hmm.
What about at night? You like going straight? You know, bare eyed barrier?
No, we do wear night vision goggles if we are in a real hostile environment.
Mm.
If we're not, it depends on where we are on patrol. I've only been on 2 patrols, and both of them, the technology-wise, they were up there, and we did wear them. However, I've had people in my platoon tell me that they've been to planets where, technology-wise, they don't have that kind of capability, and you go bare-eyed because using superior equipment really does change the balance. And we're not there to change the balance in favor of the group that we are there, that we're honor bound to. We're there to free up individuals that may affect that change.
How do you tell the difference whether we'll affect it or not? Isn't that a paradox?
By study.
Oh, no, it's a tough call. Sounds like Prime Directive being worked on from Star Trek.
No, not really. It's because we're honor bound to lend aid. We cannot lend superior equipment. We are there as scouts, supplying information, and so on. We don't tell them how to use the information. For example, we go over a hill, we're scouting around, and we come across an army that is prepping for an attack. We make our way back and we say, okay, there's an army on the other side of that hill. They're 70,000 strong. They're approaching from the east. We give them all the relevant information.
What kind of armaments they're playing with?
Correct. But we don't say, okay, if you engage from here or here, you're going to achieve a hand of surprise, or you're going to be able to use the terrain as a better...
But no sweeping, flanking motions from the forest cover.
No. We let them, if they want to do that, that's fine. We will fight within their ranks with their equipment.
Yeah, you could die that way, though.
So, we're fulfilling our life.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a laser rifle with full infrared.
Most of the time we do.
I'd be like, I'm taking full advantage of this stuff.
Well, most of the time, all the engagements that I've been in, technology, yeah, we use our standard equipment, our breastplates and so on. We wear as much of our protective gear to keep us alive as possible. We use our swords. And the stories of a daughter world that is about the equivalent to your 1300s.
Mm-hmm.
And we use our laser swords with the laser edges.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
She's left already. Oh, well. Greg, we're getting low towards the end. Okay, how much time do you have left? Okay, I'll put it on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
How's it going?
You're actually better than last week, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What's up, baby?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much. Yes, Harry is up to no good. I do know what she's up to.
What? Anything card that's good.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Anyway, the ability to maintain our survival skills needs to be focused on a little bit more, I think, the coming weeks of the challenge session.
Yes, I can say too.
Research, you know, as you get a chance and come across anything interesting, keep it in mind and bring up a session with you.
Oh, of course, of course.
And others can work on that at that point.
Yes, we will work on that, and we can work on it together as a unit.
Okay.
There is lots that we can do. For example, this morning, had some free time, went down to see Laika. Laika wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Got talking to her fencing instructor.
Mm.
I want to try something out with you.
Okay. Good.
When the take that finishes.
Fencing practice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How I wish.
Fair enough.
And you will see. I'll explain what happened. We linked minds. He's a coercive parent.
Oh, excellent.
So we traded information.
So he now has a loop in sexual feelings.
No? Mm-hmm. And in return...
How'd I know that?
In return, he programmed into me some moves.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, glad to look.
We'll see. Anyway, I'm going to stop by. We've got a meeting with Trine and the owners of the bar and set up the motion and stuff. So we're going to be there for about an hour or so, 2 hours maybe.
That'll be fine.
And then we've got, it's only going to take about half an hour, and then we've got in the back room of the bar, we've got the girls that are going to be dancing, the guys that are going to be dancing.
It's going to be quite a party.
Mm-hmm. This is for the races.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll be dancing. They're going to put on a show for us tonight to see what they've got so far. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I've got a lot playing tonight, and Tia's going to come along and help us. She's on the committee. I'm not on the committee.
Well.
I'm a defending friends medalist.
Right.
Friends. Mm-hmm. Bronze. That's not my language.
So, where does your work take you right now? What are you doing?
Well, I'm still working on the channeling system.
Still?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look that up right now.
There's a lot to it. I've got one complete wall unit finished, and there's two more to do.
Oh,
yeah, and I've got to link them in. I've been working on that for about a year and a half now. But, yeah, there are technical difficulties, and I can't fire up. I can run tests on it, right, but it's now totally incompatible with the system that we are using right at the moment.
So you need to find a compatibility or just work on a brand new system altogether?
I'm working on a brand new system. When I finish the whole entire system, all three panels, right, then I will start to test it. Yeah, for all that I know, I can fire it up and the three units won't be talking to each other. Which may take time. You all right?
I'm working on a question to ask.
Okay, and what is the question?
The question is concerning the engineering aspects of all that we've learned and with regards to our survival aspects. And so I'm working now on the process of the rain barrels and collecting from the rain runoff into, I would say, closed barrels, but only an opening for the water is being admitted. But the opening is the only opened up to get the water out.
Pretty simple arrangement. The guttering, you angle, just ever so slightly. You put a...
We have to build the guttering.
Very simple. You build the guttering. Okay. You angle it so it channels it down. You put a cover over the top, a grate of some kind. Stop the pine needles and stuff from flowing into there too much.
Okay. Grate over the gutter.
Grate over the gutter. The water goes down the pipe into the barrel. Right? The barrel is totally sealed. You can put a piece of wood on top with a brick on top, whatever. Or you can get a barrel that has a flip top that you can lift up or whatever. But on one side, you have a hole where it goes in. Something about yay big. You have a pipe going in there. Bingo. Real easy. But I took away the learning experience, and I do apologize. Okay. Now let's think on how we can improve that and use the atrium, right, for something a little bit more. Let us say, okay, let's go up the back there, right? What can we put there that would be a useful tool during the summer to cut down on the hot water bill?
Well,
Okay. What's the cheapest way to do solar panels?
It would be to use black plastic and PVC piping.
So, what do we do?
you would run the water that's being collected off from the rain and underneath the PVC piping, or any underneath the black plastic into the PVC piping, which would then run into your
storage unit,
which would be the rain bucket.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, we don't have a storage unit, though.
You can make one.
Out of what?
Well, you can use barrel or insulate it.
We only got two barrels out. Need a third barrel?
Or what you can do is pump the water in once it's full. You can pump it up and around, zigzag it down so it gets hot, gets to the bottom, it goes back up, pumps back around, and keeps on pumping around, increasing the heat. This should almost be over.
Another 10 seconds.
Yeah, so you would get barrels, right? Okay, this is how you do a efficient solar panel, right? You use a pump, right? You pump it up, like runs through, right? Goes zigzagging all the way down, goes back into the barrel, right? Which means you're pumping hot water back into that, right? Which pumps it back up out, all the way back down, back into there, increasing the heat. Now, if you have one panel, right, that's fine. Let us say you pump it all the way up to the top and you have a panel, row of panels, right? Pressure will force it through and it gets hotter and hotter. Let's say you have six panels, 3 by 2, right? Goes all the way up, all the way down. Next one, up, all the way down, up, all the way down. All the way down the next one, all the way down the next one, all the way down the next one, back into the barrel. And it will be heated up by the sun. Now, because of the continuous cycle, it will get hotter and hotter and hotter.
That's if we have it in a space where the sun is shining all the time. We don't have that, right? The trees, being as they're so tall.
But that's why you have...
Most of the areas of shade.
Yeah, but it would maintain the heat. Useful heat for quite a while, especially if it's insulated. Now you can pump the rainwater in there, and you can use it for showering, you can use it for watering the plants and so on, but you can put hot water in there.
Yeah, the pump's going to depend on electricity. With your hand.
Do it by hand crank or by wind. Or you use solar power again. Okay, I've got an experiment for you.
Okay.
I want you to get a piece of curved plastic or something curved, right?
A tube or just curved plastic?
A half a tube, whatever. Okay. I want you to line it with aluminum foil. I want you to find the focusing point. I want you to run down through there a piece of clear plastic or flexible plastic, whatever, tubing. I want you to pump water down through there on a cycle. And see how hot it gets.
Okay, now the curved plastic, is that like half of a tube or something?
Yeah.
Half of a PCT.
And you're going to find the focusing point on that. Right? And then we're going to get you to run water through it, set it up so that it's facing the sun.
Outside temperature's not going to make a difference.
No.
Wind chill will.
No, it won't. Because it's going to be out of the wind. Because of the shape.
If you have freezing temperatures, but a sun out, okay, the water is not going to get very hot.
You want a bet?
No, because it'll win. But I'm
Let's say you want a better case of wine.
Oh, right. No, half. Basic economics tells me you're probably right on this point.
Basic physics. Yeah. Now, how can you use that piece of equipment I just described for you?
In your solar panel.
Okay.
You find the focus point of the solar panel.
That's right. Okay, here's another thing that you might try to do. Okay. Get a, again, aluminum foil in a curve, a dish, right? Find the focusing point on that.
Look at it, sir. Natural progression.
Okay, next one. Stop it for a second.